Welcome to Alabama AgCast, a weekly conversation about news and issues affecting Alabama farmers and forest landowners. Alabama AgCast is produced by the Alabama Farmers Federation.
Hello, everybody. This is Brian Harden, Director of External Affairs with the Alabama Farmers Federation, and in studio today with my colleague, Russ Durrance, Director of State Legislative Programs, and excited to be with our guest today, Russ. We're in a little bit of a break this week.
That's right, Brian. It is the second spring break, or truthfully the first spring break, seeing as how the one a couple of weeks ago was really a constituent services work week, but glad to have a little bit of a break from the State House. We've certainly got a lot going on as we're 17 days through with the legislative session, 13 more to go over the next couple of weeks, but I know one thing that's kind of been interesting to track the last week or two has been an alpha health plan that Senator Arthur Orr from Decatur has introduced, something that we're working on with him. So tell us a little bit about the alpha health plan, what this product is.
Yeah, thanks, Russ. Really wanted to catch up with our members on this issue. This is a new issue, one that I know requires a lot of education with members in the legislature, and we've been trying to spend a lot of time doing that. I certainly appreciate the engagement of our members on this. I know our young farmers have been working on this heavily the last couple of weeks, have really tried to learn a lot about this issue. We have spoken with, of course, our field staff as they talk with our county federations on this. And I think this is really something that could make a huge impact. As we talk about the challenges of health care cost, we know that's a big cost for families. And especially if you are self-employed, like a farmer, you're going to pay a lot for an individual policy. So this idea, you'd mentioned Senator Orr from Decatur, was actually brought to us by him. We were aware of other Farm Bureau states doing this. Six other states have either passed it or in the process of trying to pass similar legislation to allow them to offer a health plan to members. So SB 232 is the number, and again, simply what this would do is give us the opportunity as an organization to offer a health plan to our members.
Yeah, it's kind of an interesting thing to think about, Brian. I mean, currently we have an opportunity to sell a lot of other health plans and health products and things like that through our Alpha Health Department. So when this topic was kind of brought to our attention, and when we were studying what some of our sister Farm Bureau states were doing when it relates to selling their own health plans, you know, I kind of had to do a little bit of educating myself and try to figure out, okay, how is this different than what someone's getting on the open market? And as I started talking with specifically some of our young farmers and our folks in Alpha Leaders, it really hit me that affordable health care coverage is extremely hard for them to attain. Because for somebody like you and I working for our corporation, we're on an employee-sponsored plan. So our employer helps cover some of the cost of our health plan and our health insurance. So we get a little bit of a break there when it comes to our employer helping us out with it. Then when you look at folks that are out there on the open market trying to purchase health insurance or health coverage on the open market, once you reach a certain income level, you no longer qualify for subsidies. And the price of that health plan, the price of that coverage is extremely, extremely burdensome. So we had an opportunity a couple of weeks ago, Preston and I were visiting with our Alpha Leaders here in Montgomery when they were touring the State House, and we asked them, we said, how many of you guys in this room have made a professional decision solely based on the price of healthcare? Almost every hand in the room went up. And it really hit and impressed upon, I think, all of us that were there in the room that this is an issue for our folks. So when you look at this health plan and you look at what the Farmers Federation is trying to do, I think it's important to understand that there is a need out there, there's a problem out there, and that this is an opportunity to offer an underwritten health plan that our members, if they were able to apply and get accepted into the program, they would be able to have an option for a potentially cheaper healthcare coverage.
Yeah, and I think underwritten is important just to pause there and make sure our listeners understand that. So like with, you know, most insurance, you're going to look at that person's risk. And so this allows, under this health plan, this allows for that process to take place. So it may not be for everyone. It most likely is going to be for a healthier individual, healthier family. most likely for somebody younger, but not necessarily, you know, just the young farmer age. We want to emphasize that. It could be for a lot more than that. But when you look at all the costs, again, that farmers are dealing with, and we see it, I know, you know, the Census of Ag was recently put out. There's a great article in Neighbors Magazine that Marty Jackson did that I would refer all of our listeners to. You look at the increased cost of fertilizer, of feed. We know the challenges of labor. Healthcare cost is another one of those burdens. And as the Alabama Farmers Federation, our mission is to help farmers, help make them, you know, viable, whatever we can do to help them make more money to be able to stay on the farm. And I think this is an obvious one, wherever we can help cut those costs that they can put more money in their pocket, that helps them maybe keep the spouse on the farm, or maybe that spouse can stay on the farm to do more. Maybe they don't have to take a part-time job or take a job off the farm just to get the insurance. And so the more that we can put into our farms where that family can go full-time, maybe they can provide more for another member of the family to be part of that farm, maybe they can diversify that farm, maybe they can do something new that they haven't been able to do yet because they can't put the focus and the time. You know, we've seen the success of agritourism and all the things that have really help some farmers reach more of the public and sustain themselves in different ways, whether it be something in the agritainment type venture in the fall with pumpkin patches or just more, you know, tours and activities on the farm. I think it really opens up a lot of those opportunities for people if that's one less worry they have to deal with in regards to high healthcare costs.
That's right, Brian. It gives these folks an opportunity to potentially be more financially secure on the farm. And when you have greater financial security, you can grow the farm, you can diversify the farm, you can potentially look at expanding your acreage that you're currently operating on, and maybe hiring additional help to help your farm. So this is really about the sustainability and security of the Alabama farm. One thing that's kind of been coming up to me, Brian, when we have kind of lobbied this in the halls of the State House or talked with other members about this, is kind of this idea of limited coverage, or, you know, being kicked out of the program. You know, it being an underwritten program, a lot of folks say, well, you know, as soon as I get sick or as soon as I'm no longer deemed healthy, you guys are just going to kick me off this program. Or if I have treatment that exceeds a certain dollar amount, you guys are not going to pay. You guys aren't going to take care of me because of the way that these programs operate. So tell our listeners and tell our members a little bit about kind of how these things actually function in real life.
Yeah, so if we use the example of what some other states have done, and Tennessee Farm Bureau has the oldest program. But once somebody is on that plan, it is what's called an evergreen plan. So if, you know, a new condition came up, they would not be removed off that plan because of a new condition. There would be some, you know, waiting periods on some illnesses. And again, those details aren't out there yet, because what we're trying to do, the first step is just to be able to offer the plan. And then obviously then we would work with a provider, develop a provider network, somebody who would underwrite the plan, so that more details would be out there. But generally speaking, a lot of positives that once, again, like you said, once somebody is on that plan, they're on that plan. Now, they could leave that plan anytime they wanted. But as the provider, they would not be removed from the plan because of an illness or any accident that would come up. So it's a positive from a consumer standpoint, a positive for our members to be able to have the security knowing they would have good coverage and secure coverage.
That's right. I think you can achieve kind of some of those cost containment measures that this plan offers, which is what helps make it a little bit more affordable out there on the marketplace. You can achieve that through the underwriting process without having to kick people off or cancel coverage or things like that. So I think it is kind of a good opportunity for our folks. It's certainly an opportunity with only 13 days left in the legislative session, Brian, that we're going to need a little bit of help. We're going to need our members to engage, to contact their senators, to help focus on this plan and help us push this thing across the finish line. Tell us a little bit about kind of where we are in the State House right now with this plan.
Yeah, so the bill had a public hearing last week, last Wednesday. We're privileged to have Shelby Easterling from Barber County, Evan Nelson from Jefferson County, as well as our own president, Mr. Jimmy Parnell, provide testimony at that public hearing. Really impactful testimony to hear Shelby and Evan speak firsthand from their perspective as young farm families, I think really told the story of what they deal with in regards to high cost or the opportunities that they feel like they could have if they could, you know, focus fully on the farm. And those listening that are farmers, we don't have to explain to you. You know better than we do what you deal with on the farm every day, the hours you have to put in, the challenges. So again, one less thing to, you know, to take off somebody's plate would really be helpful. So as we return next week to the legislative session, the Senate Banking and Insurance Committee is expected to take this bill up for a vote on Wednesday morning. So it is especially important for our members to reach out to their senators, especially if they have a senator who is a member of the Senate Banking and Insurance Committee. And I'll reference you back to the Capital Connection newsletter. Those members are listed in the newsletter. I encourage you to track that. If you are not subscribed, please go to alphafarmers.org and subscribe to that, or reach out to any of your contacts at the Alabama Farmers Federation, and we'll make sure you're subscribed to that. Once that committee vote is held, then it will be in position to be heard by the full Senate. But that first step is so critical to make sure that members on that Senate Banking and Insurance Committee understand the issue and hear from members, from constituents.
My name is Russin Wilson. I'm one of the lenders with the Montgomery branch of Alabama Ag Credit. I've been with Ag Credit for about 2 years. Prior to coming to work for Ag Credit, I was a previous borrower. One thing that was appealing to me, both from a customer standpoint and now as an employee, is how specialized Alabama Ag Credit is in what we finance in the business that we're in. So a big piece of our business is farm loans. That may be land purchase, could be operating lines, could be purchase of livestock, purchase of equipment. One big advantage that we have is our staff is involved in production ag personally outside of Ag Credit. Everybody here has a vast knowledge of what we finance, what business we're in. They're knowledgeable about how the income works, what the expenses are. It's more than just providing funds. We know how the operations work, and oftentimes that makes it much simpler and faster to meet our borrowers' needs. If there's any way we can help with any ag needs that you may have with an ag loan, you can visit us at alabamaagcredit.com for a list of our branches and what counties they cover, or you can reach us by phone at 334-270-8687.
We've got a couple of other things still going on at the State House right now. Wanted to touch base on another bill that's certainly important to the Alabama Farmers Federation, and that is an ag authority bill. Tell us kind of about the Ag Authority bill and maybe how this helps play into the Farm Center.
Yeah, so a lot of excitement over the Farm Center that has been planned for the location in Hallmark Farms there in North Jefferson County. As our listeners know, this has been a process, a vision of the organization and of Mr. Parnell's leadership to get to this point. And one thing that has to be done is set up the proper governance structure for that Ag Authority that will oversee the Farm Center. So to do that, we have to move a bill through the legislature. Senator Shea Shelnut is sponsoring that bill in the Senate. We expect a bill to be sponsored also in the House by Representative Danny Crawford, chair of the House Agriculture Committee. Certainly appreciate his support. So we'll return with that already out of committee. That is in a position now to be heard by the full Senate. So we'll be working to make that a priority when we get back to go ahead and get that before the full Senate, get that voted on, and hopefully successful passage and get it down to the House.
That's right. And we do expect Representative and Chairman Danny Crawford to introduce similar legislation in the Alabama House of Representatives to go ahead and get that conversation started as well. Another thing that our listeners have certainly been paying attention to, if they've been subscribed to the Capital Connection or following along so far this legislative session, is the gambling topic. Obviously, the House passed a gambling bill early on in the legislative session. It then went to the Senate. The Senate changed that bill pretty drastically, I guess. And now it is back in the hands of the House of Representatives for them to either concur with the changes that took place upstairs in the Senate or to either non-concur and likely go to a conference committee where they will try to sit down with three members of the House and three members of the Senate and try to come to an agreement or some sort of middle ground compromise for the gambling bill. So still continuing to track the gambling legislation. I would pitch it to you, Brian, and see if there's anything else you'd like to add to that.
Well, I think just a reminder to our members, even though there's been a lot of changes in the Senate version, that our policy as the Alabama Farmers Federation is that we're opposed to any gambling. So regardless of the House version or the Senate version, we are opposed. It will be, interesting to see what the House decides to do, you know, what a majority of the House will want to do. What the speaker's position will be to whether to say, no, we don't agree with this, we want to go to a conference committee, or yes, we will agree. And then, of course, the Senate has options as well. The Senate could say, okay, House, you don't agree. We do want to go to a conference committee and try to work out these differences. Or they may say, we are where we are, and refuse to go to conference, and so the legislation ultimately would die. So again, you know, we're opposed to that. So the fate of the bill is yet to be determined, but we'll continue to work and encourage our members to voice their opposition to their representatives and their senators.
That's right. So we've got ag authorities, alpha health plans, gambling, and still state budgets to take up.
That's
with
right.
13 legislative days left in this year's session. So been an exciting couple of weeks already down at the State House. We've certainly got an exciting couple of more weeks before these guys sign and die here sometime before the end of May.
Yep, absolutely. And so we just ask, you know, all of you as listeners, please stay engaged. We do have a lot to go in a short amount of time. So I do want to circle back one last time to SB 232 by Arthur Orr. Alpha Health Plans is going to take really everybody locking arms together, providing that communication to their elected representatives and senators, and really sharing their personal story. That's what it comes down to, is why is the cost of health care a challenge for them individually or for their family, and how this bill can make an impact in a positive way for their farm.
Well, thank you, Brian, and thank you for your leadership at the State House, for our organization and for our members. And thank you to our listeners for tuning in to this week's episode of the Alabama AgCast.
Thank you for joining us for Alabama AgCast. For more information about today's conversation, check out the show notes or visit alphafarmers.org/AgCast. Be sure to follow Alabama Farmers Federation on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Tune in next week for another timely conversation from Alabama AgCast.